Welcome back, everybody, to the final iteration of Evergreen 101. On this episode, we just want to talk about what it's like just to be the Evergreen goer. What is it like to go to MC and ACG and band? And I will explain those terms later, but different rhythms of how we do our community. And so I wanted to introduce who we have on this episode. Back with us again, a fan favorite, Derek Heumann. Say hey, hello, Derek.
Pastor Derek, you caught Heumann. Me on fan favorite. Wow, what an honor.
He is a fan favorite. And another fan favorite, Lauren Lyons, our deacon.
Hi.
And a newcomer today, Clayton Blackwell. Let's hop in. Again, I wanted to just start us off with what is it like to go to Evergreen and just give you some very practical information on that. So guess I want to start with missional community. I think we'll go to Derek first, just because, again, it's his brainchild. So tell us a bit about the specifics behind missional community, Derek.
Sure. So typically a missional community gathering is about 2 hours long. The missional community rhythm every month, usually the second and fourth weeks of the month, the community gathers together in a home, sometimes in a third space out in public, depending on the missional community. And then every first week of the month, the missional community will go out together specifically to serve for evangelism, for mission, for justice, or just to be a public tangible presence in their community. And then every missional community does not gather on the third week of the month because everyone comes together at all community gathering, which we will explain more in a minute. So that's kind of the monthly rhythm. But I want to hand it over to someone else to kind of talk about what actually happens during those 2 hours. What will you experience when you enter into an Evergreen missional community?
For sure. Well, I think that we could go over to Clay for this one, and he's a big part of our Ann Arbor stationed missional community. And it's oftentimes, there has been before, out of his apartment or living situation, wherever that may be. So Clay, tell us a little bit about a Sunday morning at the Blackwell House for missional community.
Yeah, so we first gather at 9:30. The leaders all get together a little bit earlier than that, just to go over what we're doing that day and get everything ready, put out chairs specifically for you all. We have you guys in mind when we were putting them out there. We always pray over each one.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yes. And so 9:30, everybody will rock up and we will start with breakfast and practicing the presence. We have a set of questions that all the missional communities use. And we just go through and share where we've seen God, where we've heard from God, what the Spirit has kind of prompted us to do, say, listen for throughout the time since we met last. So that'll go for about a half hour to 45 minutes. And then after that, we'll do prayer, we'll do worship, whether that's in some communities using just like, you know, a song from Spotify or YouTube, or some communities will have musicians who bust out a guitar. So we'll do some musical worship for a bit before transitioning into our teaching section. Throughout the life of Evergreen, our teaching has looked different almost every year, just in who's teaching, how we're teaching, what we're talking about. And we recently transitioned our teaching again. We'll talk about that maybe on another episode. And then finally, to conclude our missional community gathering, we will do communion and celebrate together at the Lord's table before everyone going their own way back into their missional context.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was kind of just telling a friend recently about the MC experience And just to kind of explain, I guess, how, like, in contrast between how, like, you know, some traditional churches still do their thing. And I was like, hey, man, you know, we kind of just meet at a house and we eat some dinner or breakfast, whatever time of day it is. And we open a Bible, we talk about it. And they kind of just left it like that. And he just goes, cool. That sounds quite nice, actually. And I was like, sweet, you know. And I think for some people, and there's a lot of people out there actually that I've met, that missional community experience of, yeah, just going to a place like the Blackwell's house and sitting in a chair, eating some breakfast, and just having that experience of not just community, but being able to learn and talk about yourself as you learn together, kind of these ways of Jesus and living together and trying to follow him and supporting each other. And many a morning have I sat there and said something kind of hard about my life. And I can just see the faces of those around me just comforting and being able to pray over me and feeling like I have people to talk to. So MC is just, it's great. It's not just a place to come in and hear a message or hear worship. It's not to consume, but it's to be a part of or a partner with other people in our lives. And so I think just to kind of give you some more of that like feeling of what it's like to be at an MC, that's personally what I've experienced. And people like Clay and like Lauren who host and pray for those chairs and put them out and, you know, run the show. I've always really appreciated the efforts there because of how I've been able to feel at places like missional community. So thank you for explaining all that, Clay. That's
just great. To add one thing to that. We've said from the very, very early days that we missional community is where we begin at the table and we end at the table together. And community is best formed in circles where you can see one another's faces and you can hear their stories, and vulnerability begets more vulnerability from others. And so we begin around the table with breakfast or dinner, and then we end around the table of the Lord, receiving the bread and the juice, his body and his blood. And there's this sense of being known and knowing others, as well as being known by the Lord and knowing the Lord through table as a response to the word. That's really important and a foundational aspect of our Evergreen community, and how we continue to form community is around the table.
I want to add to that too, that the missional community space is where you are seen, and it's not just a walk in and I'm going to hide, but it is, I am going to be seen, I'm going to be known. There can be moments of vulnerability as well that comes from that, and that's the beauty of the missional community space, is you are intentionally fellowshipping or communing with the people around you, and it leads you into deeper relationship with one another and with the Father and with the Spirit and with Jesus as well. And as somebody who hosts a missional community in my home, my deepest desire is to cultivate that welcoming, vulnerable space that people can be seen and known and valued and loved.
That's awesome. Yeah. And again, I just appreciate each one of you that have put that on. I have not personally hosted one, but it can be a lot of work. I try to help Lauren with the dishes sometimes. I see her working hard every MC that I go to. So we appreciate you guys. Kind of wanted to transition from there. I think we've talked quite extensively about the missional community setting, and that is kind of our bread and butter as Evergreen. That's probably what you're going to, what you would experience first if you were a newcomer to Evergreen. But as Derek said, every third Sunday of every month, we have an all community gathering. And that's basically all of the missional communities that are spread over the Washtenaw County area will come together and we will do a more traditional type service. We'll have more traditional musical worship. We'll have teaching and we'll have communion and liturgy things. And then we'll still eat. We always eat at Evergreen. It's the best part. And that's kind of how that will go. But I guess we'll talk about, again, go back to Derek about how that came to be and kind of its general structure and essence, I guess.
Yeah. So if you'll remember from episode one, I talked about the convergence of the evangelical, sacramental, and charismatic streams of Christianity and how if we could just cultivate a space where we could turn all of these things on and be formed and shaped by Jesus through these rich traditions. And so we do all community gathering because we still need corporate celebration together and the space where we can come and be formed in very intentional ways through very intentional practices are the kind of the flow or the order of worship doesn't change much. There's this rhythm and flow. It's called the fourfold order of worship. So we're gathered in by God's presence from all of these different places. And we're centered upon Jesus, who ultimately is our worship leader. And from there, through songs, through prayers, through call and response back and forth, we're then ushered into the word, which is the second movement, where we hear the word written that's proclaimed to us. Then we hear a sermon or a homily, which is just a fancy word for a shorter sermon. that's like about 20 to 25 minutes long. And then we ask ourselves two critical questions every single time we gather, a heart question and a hands question. What is it that God is saying to us? Because again, when we come together in the presence of Jesus, we're acknowledging and recognizing that Jesus is with us and that he's inviting us to share in his life. And so through worship of prayer and scripture and sermon and singing and confession, table, all of that form us into a particular kind of disciple and everyday missionary. And so once we've responded to what is it that the Spirit is saying to us actually right here and right now, and then what is he inviting us to do about it in the next 2 to 3 days, we then move into a time of confession, a time of receiving at the table, more singing. And then in every one of our Evergreen gatherings, we always end with the doxology as a way that, again, just forms us as people of praise and of celebration. And then we always have food afterwards. So this is usually the worship gathering itself is about an hour 15 to an hour 25. Then there's a slight transition over to food, which would be anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. But people kind of come and go as they can. Most people stay the whole time, but it's something that I look forward to every month. That's for sure.
And me as well. It's one of my favorite things. I think I'm an extrovert, so I like I like seeing as many people as possible. And I still love the MC setting, but all community gathering is just a specific, honestly, just an encourager for me and just kind of a joy to be at. As you just see so many people in one place worshiping the Lord and encouraging each other. And we usually hear some bomb songs from maybe me and Clay and a couple of other worship band members. And we'll hear a great message or whatnot from Derek or another one of the pastors at Evergreen. But yeah, all community gathering is a staple for sure. So I wanted to go to you, Lauren, next and have you just expound on some of those all community gathering elements past the general structure that Derek had to share.
Yeah, of course. I really like that Derek mentioned that all community gathering is a time of celebration, not just, and this isn't just a time of celebration communally with the Lord, it is, that's very important, but we're also celebrating other milestones that people are experiencing, whether that's baptism. Jenny, we just celebrated your baptism a couple months ago, and that was so cool to experience as a larger community. We also celebrate missional partners coming into the community. We celebrate people who are taking a step into discerning ministry through the LMC process, which is the local ministerial candidate process. And then we also celebrate with deacon consecrations people within the community are discerning what their leadership role looks like. So there's a lot that takes place at each all community, and it can look a little different each time, but it is such a joy and so cool to come together and to celebrate these different things going on in different people's lives each month.
Mm-hmm. All I wanted to add to this part was all community gathering happens because there are so many people within the church who work together to make it happen. And so all community gathering is a great first place to start giving of your time to the church. And so It's a great on-ramp. There's so many different teams, whether you're helping setting up, tearing down, getting dinner ready, helping with the music, helping with pine cones, our kids ministry. I just want to drop that in because Evergreen is a group of people, a church gathered together that is not consumers, because we're all called to be everyday missionaries. And whether that's moving chairs and tables, you're still serving the body. So that's a great place to do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Clay. Yeah, just for adding that onto what Lauren had to say. And it is, for me, it's always been that great way to, beyond the missional community setting, to see just what God's doing in our community, to just be able to celebrate with one another. And I feel like every time I go to an all community gathering, it's like seeing long lost friends that I haven't seen for a month, but so exciting to see what just kind of the individual things and those, some of those milestones for people. And it's just beautiful to see the overall work God's doing in our community and even just beyond that. So what we've talked about missional community, kind of our bread and butter. We've talked about all community gathering, and that's to kind of, again, see how all the missional communities come together. I wanted to talk about with each of you band or discipleship bands is the full name. But it is an integral part of our core members here at Evergreen. If you're a new person, you'll probably start going to missional community. You'd start to attend that more regularly. You'd come to all community gathering. But we would probably start asking you the question, hey, would you like to be in a discipleship band towards your more frequent attendance? Because it, for me, has been an integral part of my growth as not just a Christian, but a human being. And I think to kind of further explain what a band is, and it's not musical, so spoiler alert, but we'll go to Derek again for just that general kind of the theology and the idea behind band.
I could talk for hours on this, but the
please don't.
The short and sweet version is that when we look at Jesus's own ministry, we see that he had three close spiritual friends in Peter, James, and John, and we see a deeper level of intimacy with these three people than we do with the other nine core disciples. The idea kind of was picked up by John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement in the 1700s, who really formed and kind of codified these discipleship bands for leaders specifically. He wanted everyone to participate, but it really just became a thing for leaders, where people would, as James writes about, confess your sins to one another so that you will be healed. And there's this really integral thing of when we trust people and are trusted by close spiritual friends, and we're able to share the true and raw states of our souls with one another, there is something beautiful and transformative that happens, because where else in our lives, especially if you've had other church experience, are we actually intimate in this way, sharing what's actually happening, struggles and successes, secrets, sins, what is the Spirit saying to us? How is it with our soul? These are the questions we ask ourselves when we gather in band. There's no other place like it. And I know it's going to sound scary. It's going to sound nerve-wracking, which is why we set them up as trial bands, because sometimes there's chemistry issues with other people. Sometimes it's not the right season of life to engage with them. So there's always an exit ramp out of this trial period. But for me, I've been in at least 1 to 3 discipleship bands perpetually for the last 9 years, 8 to 9 years of my walk with Jesus. And I have found it to be the number one most transformative space for me. And like, that's why I brought them to Evergreen. And it's why I'm going to continue advocating for, training people in, launching and coaching discipleship bands for the rest of my life, because mm-hmm. I believe in them that much. And Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there he mm-hmm. will be. These discipleship bands gather usually 1 to 2 times a month outside of the MC time, outside of all community. They gather at all different times and days, depending on each band. And those are of 3 to 4, either men or women, very intentionally. So.
Thanks, Derek. And yeah, I've been in a band since I've been at Evergreen, basically. My band has always gone through changes, but throughout it's been just a place to just share the load of life for me. It's been that way. And to be able to hear from other believers as I confess and share my soul, and for me to hear them say, as kind of part of our band structure, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. I have never failed to feel that weight lifted. I will not lie, tears come readily in band. And so I wanted to kind of pop over to Clay. I believe you're in a band. Yep. Okay, he is. Great. But just to kind of get your experience, like what has it meant to you to be in a band?
Man, being in a band, like both of you, Derek and John, said, like, they change over time. Like, your experience will be different depending on who's in the band. But it's just been such a great place to really dig deep and get to know people for, like, who they are and what they're going through and how Jesus is remaining constant and centered in their life through that. And that's what we're there for during band. Like, we are there to be listening to the Spirit for what we should share. And we're also there to ask questions about what God is doing in their life, where they need to maybe search through and sift through to find an area where they are living in sin or need correction, and just be there. And so I had two of my bandmates, I literally asked before our latest guy joined our band, and then I was like, oh no, and to be in my wedding. That's what I was trying to say. I asked them because they are people who mean so much to me. Mm. I was like, yes, I want you guys to be stand there, and I want to show everybody that you are important people to me.
Yes.
That's what being a band is to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in one of my bandmates. I'm standing in his wedding, and absolutely without band, I might not be. And that's just kind of how I think it's about intimacy, right? It's about being seen, and what a freeing experience. And there have been many a time, as I know I have banned that week or in a few hours or whatever, and my goodness, I do not want to go. I'm like, man, that sounds like a lot of work and a lot of emotions and a lot of energy. And I have never failed to not regret that as I go into band and I participate. And it has never not been a good time, and a good time in a way that's like, I did good work and I got these things off my chest, and I felt the support and intimacy from other men. And so it has been so wonderful. I also just wanted to also go to Lauren to see what your experience has been like.
There are a lot of things that I could share about band, but I think what I want to focus on is I have been with my band for over 3 years now. I think this fall will be four years. And it has been so cool to see people grow in that 3.5-4 years, where we are able to share things and we can say about each other, hey, 2 years ago, you would have responded this way, or you would have said it this, or you would be really upset about this, or
oh my goodness, yes,
your mindset has changed and I can see growth in you. Mm-hmm. And there have been some hard moments and some hard things that we have walked through together, but to see the growth now is like such a testimony, and that's so cool to me, and that makes it all worth it. And that doesn't mean that there isn't stuff that we need to work through now too, but I have seen in each one of our lives so much growth that it's amazing.
Oh, good word. Yeah, everything that each of you have said about bands has just been like almost word for word something that's been said in mine, especially that growth. I know I can look back on my own life and look at that growth because my bandmates have pointed it out, right? I don't know if I would have done it without their like, hey man, you realize like you sound dissatisfied right now, but look at you when you were, you know, 21 and in this band, right? Or whatever. And so absolutely just an incredible iteration of believers caring for one another and inviting the spirit to be a part of just that group intimacy. And so we've talked a bit about missional community, all community, and bands, and those are the main elements of Evergreen that have been transformative for many of our members, including myself. And if you've listened all the way up until this point, congratulations, we're almost done. But thank you, listener. We love you, even if we don't know you yet. We'd love for you to experience one or all of these things, hopefully all. But we wanted to talk at the end of this episode here just about how we're evolving as a community. I've seen Evergreen in our elements change drastically in some trial and error stuff, some God-led, beautiful, you know, moments where we change things for the better, and moments where we find that something's not working and we replace it or switch it or do something different. So back to Mr. Pastor, Dr. Derek Human. No,
not a doctor. Not yet.
A doctor. just the healing kind, for our hearts,
for the soul,
yes. For the soul healer doctor. But anyways, wanted to hop back to you to talk about how we're evolving and where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. So really where we're headed is where we've always been going, and that is to be a community gathered and scattered, living out the hope of Jesus in our cities, and its longing to see the kingdom of God reign in every heart, in every home, in our cities and beyond. So often in missional church planting spaces, they'll talk about gospel saturation. And we are very far from that. we have one community in every city and five cities, you know, but what would it look like to have even just a missional community in every neighborhood of every city that we're in, and not including the cities in our county we're not in, or in our region, our state, the country, really to continue joining God, our mission, joining God in the renewal of all things as everyday missionaries of Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, where we live, where we work, and where we play. So where we're going is really a lot of what we've been doing, but seeing greater fruit, greater faithfulness. And I think this will come as every person in our community really owns their own intimacy with Jesus and imitates his way of life, as they grow in the likeness of Jesus as a disciple, maturing to the point of becoming a disciple maker. And you'll hear us talk about each one, reach one to three. And there's this challenge, this invitation from Jesus to actually pass on what's been given to you, and to be intentionally discipling one to three others in your context where you live, work, and play. And so I think as people catch this vision, as they grow in intimacy with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, they're activated, they're ignited to share the good news through their lives, through words, through deeds. And as we do this from an organizational kind of under the hood perspective, there's been four long-term strategic goals that we've been working towards, which is tangible presence in Ann Arbor and beyond, all of our different cities, developing or equipping everyday missionaries and disciple makers. The third one is scalable and reproducible systems. Systems, very simply and very quickly, are the behind the scenes structures and the processes that support all of the ministry in the church. And then lastly, missional sustainability. And so as we develop initiatives, as we do new things and do the current things better in each of these four areas, we will see the multiplication of disciples, of leaders, of missional communities, of whole new churches in our current context and beyond. And so another thing that's just really important too is it, around that sustainability piece and like leaving a legacy, is I have to remind myself that what we're doing isn't even just for the people who are here or the generation that exists right now that we're reaching, which is between 18 and 35 year olds, but that we want to create and partner with Jesus in creating a beautiful community and disciple making movement that can be passed on to Gen Alpha, who are my kids' age, my kids' generation, and even beyond. That often we notice God through scripture working across generations of people, hundreds and hundreds of years. And so we will continue to faithfully and fruitfully show up and seek the Spirit's guidance on where we need to go, and keep recognizing and seeking after Jesus, who is our healer, so that we can be freed up to become more alive with his life. For he said, I'm going to preach now, but for because he says he's the resurrection and the life. And we need more of his life. And so as we grow in intimacy with Jesus and imitate his way of life of loving up, loving in, and loving out, that will result in gospel saturation, which will result in more people coming to faith in Christ and becoming disciples who mature to disciple makers who then start the process all over again.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks for talking about that, Derek. I know I'm excited for where things are going, just based on the few short years that we've been around. But the world needs this. People need this. And I'm just excited for, especially for those who this might be the only place that they're comfortable meeting Jesus and meeting people who love Jesus. And I'm just excited, again, for where it's going and its growth, and for this water that makes one never thirsty again, to just be available to more and more people. But thank you so much for listening to our final iteration of Evergreen 101. We hope that we hear from you, or that you're already in talks with one of us that go to Evergreen. Thank you everyone for logging on tonight, and we'll see you at Evergreen, hopefully. Thank you.